is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, for a nice 2.5 hours here on ESPN 97.5. He'll join us at 9 o'clock with a big announcement, right, Dell? What? He's got a big announcement for us?
Yeah, he's been teasing it, and he's going to announce it. He didn't tell us what it is, though.
No, it's some kind of baloney stuff.
It's a partnership, a new partnership.
It's a new partnership with nothing, okay? He's partners with love for everyone or some crap like that, if we know Raheel. We had a good football weekend. We got a good game tonight, hopefully. A lot of stuff to talk about this weekend. And let's start with the last game, the Saints and the Panthers. Another official screw-up. How did they not review that interception?
I don't know.
He didn't catch that ball.
No. And there was Mike Pereira on Twitter over the weekend said, football, people deserve better than what we're getting.
Well, Jeff Triplett's crew was just horrific in that Tennessee game.
Yeah, they really were.
Really?
And at the end of that game, it was Tennessee. Yeah, and then the Bills game, too. The Bills game at the end. I don't know how they ruled that an interception when there's movement on the ground with Jalen Ramsey's, but yeah, the Tennessee game, that was a
it didn't matter. It was Nathan Peterman anyway.
They probably weren't going to, but you don't want to take. I don't think you want to take that. I don't think you want to take that one away.
I thought that the touchdown. I didn't think they looked at that long enough. The Blake Bortles, because it looked like he re-grabbed it for a second and maybe only got one foot down.
I'm trying to remember who scored.
The tight end.
Ben Sychek.
Was it him?
Oh, yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, there weren't touchdowns.
Wait a minute.
There was only
fourth
one.
Down and one, and you're letting Blake Bortles throw that? That was the biggest shock of all. Holy crap.
Yeah.
A couple of shocks. What'd you think of Sean Payton going for it on fourth down?
Not, you know what? I'm a little surprised.
Yeah.
That's an aggressive play.
I would have thought if you run on third, you were going to run on fourth, too.
Yeah.
You got Ingram and you got Kamara. I don't know about the play call, to tell you the truth. Frankly, I don't know about at midfield if that was all that smart. Anyway, pin him back and hope. But then when he threw the ball and it was intercepted, only wasn't intercepted. That's about a 17, 18 yard difference.
Yeah, it could have been a. You know, I don't love the way. I think we're seeing some real inconsistencies with how teams are handling this. Like, there's a time when you go try to win games, and there's a time when you don't put yourself in position to screw things up. And I think Sean Payton was kind of false aggression. I don't think you do that in that spot.
Well, and here's – I was listening to Clay Travis on the way in here, and he said, well, I think it was a good call because here's the deal. On fourth and two, what do they make it, about 50% of the time? Mm-hmm. But if you make it, you won the game 100% that you win the game. Okay, I get that. But if you punt it back to them, so it's about a 50-50 chance that you're going to – if you punt it back to them and pin them back inside the 20-yard line with what was the time left on the clock? Just over a minute?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are the odds that they drive all the way down the field with no timeouts and win the game?
It's not good. That's why – you know, that's why – but that's one of the reasons I didn't really have – except for the fact it was Tom Brady, I didn't really have a problem with how – I don't have problems with the Texans like taking a field goal in that particular instance because then you knew it's more than a field goal game, and this is I'm going back to Texans versus
Patriots. Yeah.
But you said okay, you don't have a lot of time, and it's not a one score game. It's not a field goal game. It's a touchdown game. All right, that made sense. I think you have to parse things out. Your defense should be able to hold up with that amount of time, that amount of distance to go. So I'm kind of with you. I just think that I'm all for being aggressive, but I think late in games, you really have to balance the level of your defense, which the Saints are not a slappy defense anymore if you thought they were. If you're dealing with a dominant offense who's been going up and down the field and it's the last team to have possession of the ball wins, all right, maybe you make an aggressive move like that, but that's not what that game was.
No.
It wasn't Carolina was unstoppable offensively and the Saints have a ragged defense. That's not even what the case was.
There's so much controversy about Cam and his head injury, or whether or not it was a head injury. But I'm telling, well, first of all, they said that he got poked in the eye. You know, when you look at a close-up, Cam is closing one eye. And I thought, well, that's probably because he's having a hard time focusing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then he went to the ground. And all the critics are going, dude, he went to the ground. He couldn't even get to the sidelines. And you guys are putting him back in there. He went to the ground so that he can get time. You do that. How many times have you seen a guy fall to the ground in the playing field so that you get more time? You want an injury to be on the field, not walk
like
to the bench.
Yeah, like
especially when your backup has got to warm up. He looked like he was going to the ground on purpose, not because he couldn't walk anymore. So we can stop with that. It looked like he was actually just fine. He said he got poked in the eye. I you know what? I don't disbelieve him. Now, maybe he got his bell rung? Okay, but he seemed like he was fine afterwards. And, oh, by the way, you want to take Cam Newton out of the game in that situation? If he says, I can play, enough of this.
I don't like conspiracies, but I'm going to offer one. How does a man get poked in the eye?
With a shield?
When he's wearing a visor.
Well, underneath there.
It's much more difficult, though.
No, it is absolutely much more difficult.
Let's say he didn't get poked in the eye. This is getting tricky because now people are making judgments based, and there's really no way around it. I mean, I don't know. I don't know the solution. But now you're having to try to read clues, and all of America, through the wonderful vehicle of Twitter, will be demanding satisfaction for players who are not, like, you know, the Tom Savage thing we saw, that was pretty brutal.
Well, that was.
Yeah, and the Texans are cleared of it. That was pretty bad.
Right.
That was pretty bad. But
I believed Bill O'Brien's excuse for that.
You can see Tyrod was shaken up on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
But now,
well, that was different.
But now this is going to turn into, in some circles, a mechanism for let's get this guy, not let's be as careful as we can. Let's get this guy out of a game. If we can get him to concussion protocol,
how did Tennessee win the game?
Yeah. No, it's the same.
Travis Kelce out.
Yeah, yeah.
And what did they do after Travis Kelce left the game? Nothing.
Yep. No. Their offense was done. But I think that's really what you're talking about here is it's going to be tricky with everyone looking to go after every single situation. I got news for you. There's going to be some borderline situations that don't get called out.
No.
That's just the way it is. They're not going to be overly protective in the playoffs. They're just not. They're going to be, I understand that it should be standard from one game to the next and your head injury shouldn't matter. But if you think that there's not going to be a concern on the team side or the player side to make sure you stay in games like this, if it's borderline, they want to stay in those games, especially at the end of games.
Well, who do you want? I don't care if you're the coach or the fans or anybody else. You want Cam or Derek Newton, Derek
well,
Anderson
obviously
out
you
there.
Know who you want.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's obvious. It's obvious who you want in the football game, and he looked like he was just fine.
But advocates would tell us, you guys are what's wrong then, with the idea that somebody's
right. I'm okay with that
somebody's mental or somebody's potential long term health isn't important to you because you're just trying to watch a game. Okay, that's
and I'm going to take that on. I'm okay with it.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right with it.
I don't want anything to happen to Cam or anyone else long term. What I am saying is there are going to be times where you can't tell. It's hard to tell. And concussion protocol is going to take guys out for quite a while.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, concussion protocol means you have to basically sit out a while, potentially, in the midst of the end of a playoff game where your season ends.
There was no way Cam was going to sit there. There was just no way.
It wasn't going to happen.
There was no way.
It wasn't going to happen.
And because, well, I don't know if you've ever.
But you go back down, though.
I've had a concussion on the field.
I went back in there.
You know.
Look at you now.
You know.
Huh? I don't know what that means, but look
right,
at you.
Right.
That's open-ended.
See, and
it could mean either thing. It could mean, look, nothing's wrong with John. Or it could be, look, You're pretty
messed
up.
This is what happens.
Yeah.
This is what happens.
I mean,
to
I
you.
Just say, look at you, and we don't even know. That's kind of a litmus test for what you think of John, really.
You know, I all I'm saying is if anybody that tried to keep Cam out of that football game was going to get the what for from Cam, because he wasn't staying out of that football game. That's all there was to it. You know, I thought
it's going to happen more. You understand that, though, John. It's going to happen more with more and more. The more that information comes out of players who are incapacitated due to CTE, the higher the numbers get, the more the information tells us it's happening in colleges for players. Like, the more information that comes out, the more it's going to lean. I truly believe this. This is not something I'm just saying willy-nilly. I really, truly believe this. I think in 20 years, there's a pretty good chance the NFL is not the number one sport in the nation anymore. I think I think some of the stuff that has started this year with the ratings decline over the 2-year period, with younger audiences tuning in more to the NBA. NBA is up 20% in TV ratings. NFL was down 9.7% after being down 8% last year. You know, this is the second straight decline of almost 10% for the NFL. The NBA continues and the NBA is a younger televised sport. So people in 20 years who are 20 years old will be 40 years old. They'll still be watching that. I don't know. I think the NFL, it's not going to get better. The CTE stuff that's coming out, the information is not going to be, you know what? Concussions, actually, guys are bigger, faster, stronger. The concussion stuff is actually going down, and we see less of it, I don't think any of the information is going to be positive that we see come out of concussion stuff. I think it's just going to be a lot of negative stuff. And more and more, do you know people who are saying, didn't you tell me your wife wasn't crazy about John Tyler playing football or no?
Oh, no.
Did you say that? Or
she's if he doesn't play, she's fine with it because she doesn't want to worry about him getting killed.
Yeah, my wife has gotten that way. And my kids haven't even set foot on a football field. You see guys like it wasn't Ditka. Was it Ditka? Somebody came out recently and said, yeah, I don't know that I would want my kids playing football nowadays. And I think you're going to see – I already know families who are – their kids aren't playing football, who they would have in the past.
I get that. I think the doom and gloom is a bit overrated, though. I think that, while ratings are down, I think a lot of that is the kneeling crap and people just saying, you know, I don't want to hear from – I think the game is still
– as saw basketball do this, right?
Yeah.
When the Jordan era basketball ended – and it was Allen Iverson, and it was really, frankly, not good basketball. The basketball late 90s, early 2000s, it really wasn't.
It was boring.
You had some, like, Pistons were a pretty good team, and the Spurs. It was boring. It was bad.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who checked out. Once Jordan was gone, they checked out, and they've never checked back in.
But that's not, and that's the same with golf. When Tiger was good, people checked in. When Tiger left, golf got boring, and there's no superstar. That's not the case with football, though. This thing is about, I think, politics and crap and stuff like that. This is more about that as opposed to a superstar that's no longer playing the game.
What if I told you that? I think a big part, I don't think it gets talked about nearly enough, and I don't think it's gambling as much as fantasy. I think it's really fantasy football. What if this is a house of cards for football, where the immense popularity and growth is really due to people interacting with the sport through fantasy football, through a game, not through what's on TV, where they care a lot less about actually the game than stats
or betting
for that. Yeah. And I don't think there's as many people who are gamblers. I know that I think fantasy football probably outweighs the gambling, maybe 40-1. I mean, it's a tremendous amount of fantasy football.
Well, I think you're underestimating gambling.
Maybe
there's a lot of bookies that are making a lot of money, and especially this weekend with four dogs covering.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but I mean, fantasy football is played by everyone in the office. Like, everyone's got a team.
I don't think it's 40-1. I think it's probably more like 10-1 in that
across the world.
Yeah, there's a lot of gambling going on, dude.
I don't know. 10-1 seems a lot, but the point is, I just don't think. I'm not sure that everyone's watching football because they just love the sport so much.
No.
It's a little bit of a house of cards. Now, I don't think fantasy football is going away.
No, and I don't think gambling's going away.
So, yeah, that's all fine and good. But I do think basketball is going to continue going up, and I do think football is going to continue going down. And I think a lot of people who would have played football in the past will no longer play football.
Yeah, I think I believe that too. That's right, Del. Weed's not going anywhere.
I just found that a random interjection.
I know, but I just like it. Let's talk.
You didn't hear him?
Let's talk about
no, I did.
Getting your juices flowing.
Let me tell you something. Men's T Clinic. So when it comes to testosterone levels, you really don't know what you've got going on. Kind of like this whole protocol thing. You can guess. You can wonder. You can have an opinion. But I can tell you the symptoms. Here are the symptoms for low testosterone. Chronic fatigue issues where you're always tired or you're having a hard time getting through workouts or you just don't have the drive to get off the couch and go do it. Or you're laying around all the time and you say, man, I don't want to, but I just don't have the drive to go do stuff. Maybe your libido is down. Maybe it's an issue where you don't have the same lean muscle mass. All of a sudden, the belly fat has come in and you can't get rid of it, even though you eat the exact same as you have before. If any of these sound like you might suffer from low testosterone. It doesn't have to be all of them. I know everyone thinks you got to have all. Well, that's not going to be the case for everyone. A low testosterone strikes one in every three men over the age of 40. I just thought I was always tired because I wasn't getting enough sleep. I really, truly thought that. And the guys at Men's T said, well, let's test you and see. I said, well, it's a waste of your time because I'm pretty good in that department, sir. And like, no, let's go ahead and check it. My numbers were low. And I actually was kind of excited about that because I knew there was going to be a solution for it. And that's exactly what happened. My energy level shot through the roof in just 3 days after my first treatment. And then I started to see the results with body type after about a month and a half when I first started this. Two locations here in Houston. You got two more getting ready to open up. There's a location in Cypress. The other location is here at 1801 Durham, Durham and I-10. Stop in. Tell them Lance Erling sent you by. It's 713-568-1175. You can get in, you can drop in, or call and set up your appointment to go see him. 713-568-1175. It's MensTClinic.com.
Need a new restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler.
That's dope. Late nights come from long days, doing all the right things in the wrong ways.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. God, I hope this thing works out. Do you know Courtney Rowland at all?
Know the name.
You don't know her?
I don't know her.
We traveled to Baltimore for the Under Armour. And it's funny, I've known Courtney for a while. She was doing stuff for Texas A&M, recruiting stuff for Texas A&M. And when JT was out there, it was funny. He's 18, you know, and he, you know, they're trying to find out where he's going to go. And he goes, Dad, like this hot chick came up to me at one of these at a camp. And she was like, hey, where are you going to school? And stuff. I think she likes me. I'm like, JT, I think she's trying to, you know, I think she's doing her job, but she's hot. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, she, Courtney, yeah, she's a pretty, pretty girl. And unfortunately now, apparently at about 12:30 on Saturday night, going into Sunday morning, she texted her friend and said that there was some blue truck following her, and she hasn't been seen since. And Joe, the producer in there, Chicago Joe, came in and he said that they found her truck near over by Maggiano's over there on Post Oak. And, you know, she hasn't been seen since Saturday night. And so hoping, and people have been retweeting, there's thousands of retweets on this thing trying to hopefully somebody finds something or is able to. If anybody knows anything that they can get a hold of the cops and, you know, help find her, she's we traveled to Baltimore for the Under Armour deal and spent some time with her, and she's just a great girl, and she's in the business, and she was on Fox Southwest, I think, and doing, you know, just trying to come up and make her name in the business. And this is just a shame if anything bad has happened to her. So if you know anything, you know, call the cops if you've heard anything or you've seen. She was driving a white Cherokee, and it was over in that Post Oak area, and she hasn't been seen from since. Hopefully this is, she's something, she just is indisposed, hopefully. So, but this is a, God, you hate stories like this. Hopefully she's fine. Anyway, best of luck to Courtney.
I tweeted some information. There's some pretty good info that's out there already about.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you see this information, just see if any of it makes sense. Maybe if you saw this, you saw
anything.
That. Just if any of it makes sense, just read through it and see if any of it makes sense.
Yeah. So that's a Paul. And listen, she was on all the newscasts last night, and she'd been gone for less than 24 hours. Mm-hmm. She'd been missing for less than 24 hours, but this doesn't sound good.
Nope. KJ, our old friend KJ, says that Saints defense allowed Tampa to go 90 yards last week inside of 2 minutes to lose. Maybe that's why Peyton went for it.
Well, and you just saw the Christian McCaffrey play,
just
too.
Happened, yeah.
The Christian McCaffrey play where he takes a slant over the middle and runs 50 some yards for the touchdown and just outruns everybody. That, yeah, they were trending poorly defensively. I don't think that there's any question about that. But still, I'm still not sure about fourth and two in that situation. Yeah, you'll remember that Bill Belichick did that on fourth down, like against the Colts, and Peyton Manning got the ball back and beat him. But he was going for the win. I don't have a problem going for the win. I really don't. I'm not so sure about the play call. I just wasn't crazy about Drew Brees going back, and I don't know. And oh, by the way, there was some question of whether or not Cam was out of the tackle box. It looked like he was.
Did you think so?
I thought he was.
I thought it was pretty borderline. I mean, The one where he just heaved it off to the right.
And he got
how strong he is to fling it like that. That's unbelievable. But, yeah, I thought it was kind of borderline. He was.
I think that situation, you maybe give him that call.
Well, he had already gotten the stay in the game after a potential concussion call. You want him to get all the calls?
Wait, that's not a call by the field judge, the field referee.
It's called by somebody.
Yeah, no, I get that, but not that one. That wasn't a call.
Honestly, I've got the Saints going to the Super Bowl out of the NFC. I don't know if it's going to happen. I just think from an odd standpoint, I like them the best. Like +3. There's like 3-1, 4-1, something like that. But I don't know. After watching them, I like them. I like the Saints, but... And they have been winning away from home this year, which is rare. That's one of the reasons I think the Saints have a real chance. They don't have to rely on the passing game, although they didn't run it well yesterday. And then they can win on the road. These are two things that not really Saints football. They almost never win on the road. They're usually terrible on the road and good at home. This year they were pretty good on the road. They were really good on the road this year. So, but Jacksonville, Blake Bortles has got. So the Saints have enough. I think to get to an NFC championship game and make it interesting and maybe even get to a Super Bowl. I do think that. Let me see. What was the other NFC game?
Oh, Rams and Falcons.
Oh, yeah. Wow. How about the Falcons? The Rams and, and Wade's defense.
Hey, I had a lot of confidence.
And then here's the and I didn't think, and here's the thing with the Falcons. The Falcons offense since Kyle Shanahan left is just not the same. Sarkisian is just not the same. His offense, they don't run it as well.
No, but
his play calling's not as
playing
good.
Playing better now.
Yeah, they're better, but they're not the same dangerous offense they were last year. They're not. It's because the running game is not consistent. But is their defense? I mean, that defense was way too fast for the Rams. Way too fast. It was a total mismatch defensively. Now, once Gurley got going, you know that eliminates some of the run game. But if you try to throw on them, their secondary can fly. They got a killer back there in Keanu Neal. And then their linebackers are all built to run.
Yep.
Like, if you try to run wide, you got to run right at them. You got to hammer their asses. Because if you don't, you try to run wide on them, they're blazing speed. And their pass rush is pretty brutal, too. Especially when they get Tack McKinley cranked up.
What, eight or nine of their defensive players are in the league 3 years or less?
Yeah.
I mean... So
They have really been built well.
He did a hell of a job.
You know, Vic Beasley looked like he didn't look good after his first year, and then it just clicked with him. And now in year three, Devondre Campbell was like this guy with – Devondre is a big learning experience for me because he's this guy who really looks the part. You know, long legs, this, you know, big high ass. He's got – looks just – he looks the part, long arms. But then when I watched him on tape, he's like, his instincts aren't great. He does this and that. And then my buddy he was with the Chiefs at the time, he's GM of the Colts now, he just said, when they look a certain way and they run a certain way and they do things that other people other people don't look and run and jump and do all that stuff, you have to assume when this is their full-time job and coaches are working with you on a full-time basis, mm-hmm. even if you don't, even if you screw up your run fits, even if you screw up with your instinct sometimes, your athleticism plus great coaching and film study and a dialed-in game plan, because you're not in college anymore where it's just flinging it all over the field, there's a more dialed-in approach. He said, those guys just end up turning into players. And Devondre Campbell has turned into a real player out of Minnesota. And Deion Jones, you know, oh, he's kind of small. Yeah, he's really fast. He's got elite speed.
He's unbelievable.
He's got elite speed. So he chases down everything.
He is unbelievable. I didn't see this at LSU, if you want to know the truth.
No, I didn't either. No. I didn't see it from Kwon Alexander either. No. And Kwon Alexander's turned into a player. Yep. Yep. And that's because they have elite speed. Like, people don't run as fast as they do at linebacker. And then it shows up in the league. Like, I buy into that stuff now. I understand what he was saying, that with coaching, you take guys who are great athletes, and you, it's not going to happen for everybody, but you dial them in with coaching, and now I can understand why, you know, Al Davis did what he did for so many years. It's just, he just bought all the way in on athletes who weren't players. You can't do that. Yeah. But if you get guys, but in the fourth round, you can. Like, Devondre Campbell, I think, was maybe fourth round. You can do it there. You know, the Texans don't do that. The Texans don't have a very athletic team. They haven't. They haven't had a fast team or athletic team.
That is one of the most obvious statements you've ever made.
But Dylan Cole is.
Yeah.
Dylan
Cole
is a great athlete.
But they found him in free agency. You know what they do? They find him in free agency.
Yeah, swing with that. Yeah. Zach Cunningham was a good athlete, although he didn't test great, but he plays fast. But Kevin Johnson's not an elite athlete. None of your safeties are elite athletes.
No.
Brian Cushing, Bernardrick, and McKinney. Now, Bernardrick has size traits. Whitney has all that stuff. JJ. Now, your defense is built with that kind of stuff. But, you know, that's why the Texans just aren't built like, you look at how the Falcons are built, and you look at how the Texans are built. And the Falcons went out and got just a big old killer in Keanu Neal. And then they went and got, you know, Alford, and they've had Alford, and then they added Trufant, and you start seeing how they built their team, and they just said, we're just going to attack you up front. Now, I see some of that with the Texans in terms of up front. They'll go get you with their pass rush and stuff like that.
Yeah, but
their edge is not, you know, Brooks Reed, John Simon.
That's why I'm not blaming Larry Izzard, and I didn't blame Joe Marciano, because they don't have athletes. They're not athletic.
No, they're not a real premier.
And guess what you need
team.
On special teams? Uh-huh. You know, backups that are athletic.
You do. Your wide receivers are. Jalen Strong wasn't a very.
Oh, really?
Wasn't a very good.
Really?
Athlete. Yeah. This just in. Yeah. Either was his name for Ohio State? Who was another? Devere Posey.
Yeah, Devere.
Now, you have elite speed with Will Fuller. We'll see if he can stay on the field.
But he's not a special teams. Other than returning.
Yeah, well, that matters too. But
yeah, but right, but one return.
But
thanks.
here's your thanks special teams. Your special teams are linebackers, safeties, third running backs, occasionally a cornerback,
and a fifth wide receiver.
And usually, wide receivers will run down and get you, too.
All right, let's 713-780-3776. You want to get in here? We got a lot to do.
Still, I don't like this rocket thing going on right now.
Hey, sell us your car today. Give me the VIN.com. Starting to speak for John Clay Wolf or whatever. That's his name, right?
You don't know the man's name?
John Wayne Gase, whatever the hell his name. So easy you can do it in your underwear. That's right. GiveMeTheVIN.com is so easy, you can do it in your underwear. If you want to be creepy and do it in your underwear and, like, scoff at John Clay Wolf while you're doing it because, hey, I'm in my underwear, or maybe not in my underwear. Maybe I'm doing it with no underwear on. Then
this
there's that.
This sounds like a champion spot, to be honest with you.
No, you can't. But so easy, you can do it in your underwear, okay? Or maybe not. Listen, it takes about a minute for you to go, GiveMeTheVIN.com. Go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. Register your car. You get a quote, and you're going to be answered in about a minute. In about a minute. That's how long it'll take for you to get a quote. And here's the deal. When you trade it in, if they don't give you more, if they don't offer you more than CarMax did, he'll send you $100. I talked to him last week. He said, I do. I have to send out a couple of checks a week. Three checks a week. But it's rare. And here's the deal. He actually does. He says, listen, if I can't beat CarMax, and I'll beat CarMax, I will beat the. You're going to get the best offer in the business. And if not, you get $100. That's worth it there. GiveMeTheVIN.com. You can listen to the John Clay Wolf Show and GiveMeTheVin.com every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 12. It is a funny show. It is a funny. These guys are funny. You go to GiveMeTheVin.com. GiveMeTheVin.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 734 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. John and Lance along with Dell. 713-780-3776.
How much rain did... I know it rained last night and the storms came in.
Yeah.
Man, there were areas of Houston driving down Richmond that are like, water was standing. Like, how much rain did we get overnight?
We got a...
must have poured for a while.
We're a concrete jungle. I mean, it doesn't go anywhere anymore. There's nowhere for water to go anymore. It just comes and just comes in your house now.
I guess so.
It doesn't. It doesn't. It's just ridiculous.
Did your house? Did your previous house take any water?
Nope.
Didn't.
No. It was good. Let's get Billy in here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Billy.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, man?
So I wanted to talk to y'all about the whole not letting your kids play football growing up. Now, I've got a cousin lives up in Pittsburgh, and his son plays club soccer, and Troy Polamalu's son is on the team, and they've had several conversations, been over their house for dinner, whatnot, and Troy has said that if he knew what he knows now about the head injuries, he would have never played the game, and he refuses to let his kids play the game.
Yeah, I'd heard that.
There are guys that are like that.
I think that was out there. There are football players. I'm telling you, it's going to be it's getting to be way bigger than people realize, and it's going to be massive in terms of tuning out an entire generation of kids who play football, which I think is going to take its toll on the sport. But Troy was also a guy, just so you know, Troy was also a guy who is extremely in tune with his body. If he wasn't, my dad was on the Steelers when Troy was there. He coached for the Steelers, and he told me this at the time: if Troy's not at or near 100%. He'll shut it down. Like, he won't play. He won't practice. He won't do. And not that Troy wasn't tough or wasn't a great, you know, work, but Troy cared about his body. He cared about life after football. And Troy would take special care. So this doesn't surprise me at all, hearing about CTE and stuff like that and Troy saying, I wouldn't have done it. That doesn't surprise me at all, because he was really into his own well-being for life after football. He did not want to be one of these guys who was, you know, limping around or had jacked up elbows and knees and stuff like that. That was not him. So that doesn't surprise me about Troy.
No, it's easier to say that now, though, after he's, you know, it's easier to say that now.
No, but that's who he is, though.
Yeah, maybe.
And he was when he was playing. You know who his trainer was, right?
Who?
Marv Marinovich.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm saying. He's one of those guys that's super fine-tuned with my protein levels have to be here and my this, that, and the other. And if he wasn't at 100%, he would just say, I'm not practicing today. It's not worth my hip. You know, I don't want a full-time.
Maybe
I don't want to be hobbling around when I was older.
Most guys are not taking his stance, though. Most guys are saying, you know what, even – now, not letting their kids play is one thing, but saying I wouldn't have played the game, the majority of guys say – I love the game. It's my life. It's what made me. It's what I ate, drank, and slept football, and I couldn't have lived without it.
Yeah,
most guys are like that.
Yeah, I think people who played it. Yeah, because some guys love. Chris Paul once said something pretty interesting. He said one of the most disappointing things that he found when he came into the league and his time in the league is how many guys don't love it. He said, it's really disappointing, and I know that's the case in football, too, with a lot of guys who it's a great paycheck and a means to an end. But I think in football, you're going to get more people who love the sport than maybe in basketball. And here's why, although some people in football love basketball more than they love their own sport. I mean, they came up playing basketball, and if they could, they'd be basketball players, not football players. The difference is,
well, it's not as dangerous.
To go through that, what you have to go through in football, you kind of have to love it, because at least a greater percentage, you can play basketball and collect these gigantic paychecks, guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to love it. You don't have to go home and watch it. You don't have to live it. You're still going to get paid. You're still going to make your money. And if you're tall and talented and athletic and whatever, you can still fit in the NBA for years and years and keep collecting checks. In the NFL, it's hard to just collect a check if you're not into it. That's a lot of work to just collect a check. Keeping yourself at a certain weight, hitting the weights hard. Oh, the physicality of it all. Out in the summer, you're waking up early.
The danger of it all.
Yeah. I mean, it's in the NFL,
you gotta love it.
It takes a little different level of commitment, I think.
Yep. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. 713-780-3776. We haven't touched on the Rockets yet. This is a bad time. This is a, you know, losing to Detroit the way that they did. This is a kind of a rough stretch. When they had that three, four game losing streak, Lamont was tweeting out all kinds of, a panic time. Every show is saying, well, no. Here's the thing is, I don't think you panic unless you think that this team, you start to panic when you know that it's over. Your dreams of this season are over.
I panic on the long term stuff, not the short term. Like, do I expect it to be better? Yeah, because I know James is coming back. Now, if James tore an ACL, yeah, I'm panicking. Absolutely.
No, well, here's why I'm not panicking, is because this is about what I expect of this. This is a 27-11 team. This wasn't a 25-4 team.
But they're 3-7 in their last 10.
That's right. And now they're without James, and they were out with Capella was out for a while. Chris Paul was out for a while.
Capella missed two games.
Yeah, well, but they lost. I mean, they went through that stretch of five straight losses.
They lost both of those. Yeah.
Yeah, and so this is a time, but are they any different than you? They're 27-11.
No,
this is still a pretty damn good season.
Yeah, you would have definitely taken that before the season started, but I do think that by the time James gets back, I mean, I think there's pretty good chance the Spurs will catch you. And that by the time James get back, you may be in a position of holding off the T-Wolves at number four. Like, I think you're gonna slide. I'm not sure. This is obviously challenging. They're not playing very good basketball right now. Offensively, there's not the flow. You got to remember, even though Chris Paul is a great player and all that, James has been the guy who has run the offense for three straight years. Not just get you. I mean, James gets you free throws. It's one thing to say you live by frees and threes, but if your free throws dry up, now all of a sudden you're like, man, it's really imperative we get good three-point looks and make our three-pointers. And if you're not getting your three-point looks, and if you're not defending, and if you're all of a sudden your margin for victory, when you're not getting about 11 free throw makes a game,
well,
that's taking away some points.
And a guy who just doesn't need anybody to create offense.
James can create everything. That's why, as
boring as it looks sometimes,
James can really piss me off, but I'm not ever going to be like, I understand his value. James not only scores at a rate that's higher than anyone else in the league, but the points that he's valuable, the points that he is directly responsible for are through the roof.
Yeah.
James's point total is through the roof. So, but you look at it now, defensively, 120, you had or offensively, you have a 101, 114, here's a 116, a 148 versus the Lakers, but a 103, a 98. You have been a little up and down offensively, and defensively, you have to start locking up defensively, because you can't rely on those. James's free throws can get you through a bad quarter. And the Rockets rarely have bad halves. You might have a bad quarter, but you just don't usually have bad halves. Right now, I can't stress how much, as pissed off as James may make everyone, his value in getting points and getting some easy baskets is, I mean, it cannot be understated. I think we're seeing some of that right now. Now you go take on the Chicago Bulls tonight, and there's another one where you've lost two straight, you're on the road, and you're reeling a little bit. I'm a little concerned about the Rockets right now, but when I say concerned, it's relative to holding positioning. Long term, I'm not that worried about the long term.
But I think
it's important to be one or two.
Are you panicked that they won't win the championship this year?
No, I don't
know. You know why? Because you don't think they're going to win the championship this year.
Oh, no, I think they got a chance.
You think they can beat Golden State?
Oh, I think they got a shot. Yeah, I think they got their best shot. It doesn't change. I mean, I've said that previously on this show when things were going really well. I'm not going to change it now because Chris Paul was out a while and James was out a while. I think if they are healthy and firing on all cylinders, yeah, I think they match up with Golden State pretty well.
Well, see here,
they're a dog. I mean, they're a clear dog.
No, with their start, I was starting to believe. I was thinking,
yeah,
but then this is more the mean. This is more what they are. This team is not a 25-14.
But did it happen with everyone on the court?
Well, even still, yeah. Yeah, James was still on the court when they were losing. Yeah.
But they didn't have their big Capella for the two games where it started to slide on them. And then Chris Paul had been out, and now James is out. Like, I haven't seen them all together.
However, you could still make the argument that they weren't going to beat Golden State with everybody healthy anyway.
No, you could. Yeah. I mean, you're not – well, there's no argument that – there is no argument that any team in the NBA is going to beat Golden State because it's not happening. But I do think the Rockets were as well positioned as I've seen a team.
Well, this is the best
year.
This is the best shot they've
this
had.
This is the best shot. So yeah, I
they've
give them a
had.
Shot. I'm not done with this season by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm not stupid. I mean, I think James is a horse and he'll be back and he'll be fine. The guy I'm worried about is Chris Paul. Can Chris Paul stay healthy? Can Eric Gordon stay healthy?
Well, I'm just hoping Ryan Anderson can stay healthy and put up the kind of numbers that he's been putting
up. Hey, let me tell you what. See, you're looking at everything negative. I'm looking silver lining. Let's say you go to Golden State. More games will be on the road than at home. And road Ryan Anderson is a really good player.
Because he had five at Detroit.
Well, just go check his splits.
Okay.
How much is Ryan Anderson making this year?
20.
You mean the albatross, I like to call him.
How about this?
So why would you not want to play basketball again?
The albatross.
Here's his points per game. 5 last game, 6 before that, 17, 7, 9, 9, 11, 14, 2, 0, 0.
Sounds to me like they're not giving him the ball.
Is he the second high? Is Chris Paul making more?
Oh, no, he's taking some shots.
Is he making more than Chris Paul?
No, Chris Paul makes more.
$20 million.
How much does Chris Paul make?
That's fun.
So Ryan Anderson's your third highest paid player?
Does Ryan Anderson have 14 bathrooms like Chris Paul does? No.
Probably let me go to the splits for you guys so you guys can stop panicking.
Why don't you do the splits of Gulf Coast Buick?
Hey, Lance, how about I'm not panicking, but Paul George might be here if Ryan Anderson wasn't being paid $20 million a year.
Yeah.
Let me go to his road three-point percentage.
How does that taste?
Road three-point percentage. 39%. That's pretty good.
That's all fine, but if you weren't paying Ryan Anderson, you might have Paul George.
I don't think that's the case.
How was he in Detroit? One for six.
It's kind of the case. Ryan Anderson was the reason why you don't have your third player. Either Paul, obviously Carmelo's not the guy you wanted, but Paul George was an option, but you couldn't trade him to Indiana because no one wants that contract.
Three for his last 18 on the road, Lance.
It's a cold streak. You never been in a card table and had a cold streak? You never had the cards not pop out your way?
I never had three games where I was getting paid $20 million and I scored 2 points in three games.
Ryan Anderson, next game, 36 points.
Okay.
11 threes and three free
throws. Blake Bortles is going to throw for 500, too, next game.
3 and 1s from the free throw line. 11 threes and 3 for 3 from free throws. And those are all on fouls where he makes 4-point plays. I'm sorry. When it does happen, you guys just say, Oh, Lance, you are so smart about Ryan Anderson, road Ryan Anderson, with his 39% three-point range. It's hard to sell, Ryan. It's not hard to sell Gulf Coast Buick GMC. Actually, it's Buick GMC Chevy. And that's Craig DeSerf. Craig DeSerf was my guy. Last time when I worked here, I spoke for Craig, and I love Craig. Craig is a good friend, funny guy. And I'm so happy to speak for him again. And he left. He was at a place off 59 that you guys had all heard of. It was bought out by a big parent company. And that parent company did such a poor job that they're not even in business here as the same business right there off of 59 over there by that salt grass. I do know this. Craig DeSerf said, I don't want to do business like this. He left. He ended up going to Gulf Coast Buick GMC Chevy, whatever order you want to put the cars. I just know this much. He says, I'm going to get back to the same way I used to do business there when I was off 59. It's going to be a neighborhood dealership where you come out here, you get taken care of. First thing he did was went out and said, hey, Jose Altuve, I want to make sure and get you in. Altuve came in. He's got a truck. They're good buddies now. A lot of the Astros are headed out there getting their stuff from there. That's because it's not that far long a drive. You go out to Angleton, you go get your car. It's like going from here to Kingwood. It's the same kind of trip out to Angleton. People hear Angleton, you don't want to go. Would you go if I could? If I tell you he could save you $2,500, $3,000 on that Chevy Silverado, on that Yukon XL, on that Chevy Cruze? I mean, there's a wide variety of cars to choose from. The Buick Enclave, I think, is the best crossover vehicle out there on the market. Crossovers, pickup trucks, SUVs, Chevy Suburban. It's all right there. Better selection, better colors, better prices, and better people, frankly, right there at Gulf Coast. Go to gulfcoast.net for all the vehicles they have in stock. That's gulfcoast.net.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance along with Dell. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. Hey, we got a football game tonight. Georgia, 3.5-point underdogs. You have a problem with knowing how Georgia's going to score. I think they will move the ball against Alabama. I think Clemson depended way too heavily on Kelly Bryant.
Well, how do you beat Alabama, typically?
Yeah,
not a lot spread of you out. Spread you out, speed, quarterback who can beat you with his legs. Typically, that's how you have success.
Auburn
was that rare team that was smashed.
Yes, and I think Georgia can get that job done as well.
Stidham had some big runs. By the way, Jarrett Stidham headed back to school, but Stidham did some things with his legs too. Now he didn't. He extended play. You have to extend some plays with your legs. That's a non-starter.
I don't know where that's from. I think you're pretty straightforward on the way that you're going to attack them. But listen.
A point, though. Auburn did pretty much just smash mouth them, and Georgia's got a good offensive line. Truth be told, I thought Auburn – so I'm on the committee to select best offensive lines in college. And
well, there's no question who you're going to – Nelson is like your
– Well, lines, offensive lines.
Oh.
The Joe Moore Awards, which Aaron Taylor started three
years
ago.
Oh, the entire line.
Yeah, and it's really picked up a lot of steam. Like, Notre Dame had this big unveiling thing where they were the winners. And those guys, those offensive linemen, like...
Well, they have two All-Americans.
It was incredible, their reaction. Like, this means a lot. Baker Mayfield, they have an article where it said their entire goal all year long was to win the Joe Moore Awards. This is what they said in a paper at Oklahoma before the bowl game. They were one of the semifinalists, Oklahoma, but the finalists were Georgia, Auburn, Notre Dame, and I thought Auburn should have won. I cast my vote, my first place vote for Auburn, but Georgia, Georgia was a semifinalist too. Georgia was great this year. Georgia's offensive line was fantastic.
Now they better be against that defensive line
this year. Yeah, and you know, frankly, Notre Dame—that's a separate thing. But Notre Dame struggled against Miami, and they struggled twice against good teams. But Auburn went out and said, "We'll hit you in the face too. Let's go." And Kerryon Johnson is a physical back, so it helped that you have physical. Last I checked, Sony Michel's that guy too. Sony's a very physical downhill back.
Or you change it up. Well, Chubb or Swift.
Yeah, they got three. So you might have a point there, because I do think Georgia's offensive line has the ability to match up a little bit.
Now, Raekwon is a different deal, though. You're trying to move him off the ball.
Yeah.
Those guys
are all, I mean, Daron Payne.
Yeah.
You're not moving Daron Payne. Raekwon
Davis. I mean, that is...
It's unbelievable the talent on the defensive line they have. It's just nothing but pros.
I just wish that we had a different style of game tonight.
Yeah, it's this is going to give, I think, now.
Do you think it's going to give the Bills Jags some, as far as?
No, that's the worst ever. And that looked like it was going to be the worst ever, and it lived up to the anti-hype. Jags Bills look like, ugh, Tyrod versus Blake Bortles. This doesn't look good. Fire in some wind, some bad officiating, and just the tightness of a play. Blake Bortles was unusually terrible yesterday.
Well, he was.
Missing everything.
He was Jalen Hurts. Drop back, look, and run.
Yeah, but worse.
Right.
But you're right. Did he finish with more passing yards than rushing yards?
No, rushing yards. 89 and 87, right? Wasn't that it? I think he finished with 89 rushing yards.
Just a zone read quarterback. When are we going to stop? And you know what? We got to start. We got to stop looking for these zone read Blake Bortles types. That looked like Blake Bortles UCF, didn't it? It looked like the old UCF. Yep. Blake Bortles. Like, holy crap. Isn't this the guy who only threw it about 11 times a game and ran it the rest of the time? Yep, that's what they got out of him.
Why do you think they won?
It was
they
10,
only threw Blake Bortles.
It was 10-3. 10-3 was the final. It was the worst playoff game that I've ever seen. It was terrible. That screw up when the Bills got, first of all, that entire drive where the Jags gave up. They had a late hit on Tyrod Taylor. Like, it was just a monumental series of screw ups. They get to the 1 yard line. And the Buffalo Bills do, and the first thing they try to do is throw the ball. They try to throw the ball. Offensive pass interference. Yeah. Then they take a loss of two where Tyrod Taylor tries to run. Then they almost get sacked. Then Tony Romo keeps saying, why don't you just, you know. No, that wasn't that game. What was the game where Tony was saying, you should just take a penalty here, and then you get an offsides call? Was it that game? It might have been the exact same series.
Yeah.
Where they get an offsides penalty, they draw them offsides, but I think it's what got them to the 1 yard line, actually. But it was just a monumental series of screw ups that turned into a field goal only. They were first and goal from the one and went backwards every play.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
It was Bills football.
But that's what that whole game was.
Yeah. No, that was the worst. That was the worst. You're right. Worst play of
game. Do you guys remember a game that was worse? Granted, it's recent. I'd have to go back and look at it. 10-3 is a pretty good indicator. We didn't see a very good game, but it was as bad as
maybe the Bears-Eagles fog game. Remember, because you couldn't see it?
Yeah, that was really bad. That was like total coin flippers. Every play, you didn't know what was
happening. You know where the ball was.
I don't even know where it is. Like, they're trying to call the game, and they had no idea. But, I mean, Bortles, they showed a highlight package of his at halftime, and he was missing screen passes. I mean, that guy's so terrible. Now, the Tennessee Titans came back and won, but I kind of consider it Kansas City blew a lead that they should have just boat raced Tennessee. It was a game where Marcus Mariota threw himself a touchdown.
Right.
Did
you hear what they said?
What?
He was an eligible receiver because he was in the shotgun.
So they screwed that up, too?
Yeah, triplet. He was an it's a good play because he was an eligible receiver because he was in the shotgun. Dude, it was a tip pass by.
It doesn't matter, right?
No, it doesn't matter. It could have been a lineman.
Does Triplett believe that Mariota actually, like when we were kids, threw the ball up in the air and ran under and caught it for a touchdown?
So here's the thing. I had the game recorded. I was leaving. I was working up here, and I didn't see the play. So I go home, and my kids, as soon as they come in, Dad, Marcus Mariota, get through a touchdown. He caught it and touch it. And I'm like, and all I could think of was, please tell me that somebody is about to sack him. He showed the ball and he threw it over
up in the air.
A Chief player ran around him and caught it. That will be the most baller move of all. That's like punting and catching your own punt down in a punt. That would be the best.
You did
thing
that
ever.
In the street how many times?
That's the street. You didn't have anyone else. So
you
why are you playing
threw
by
it up to yourself and went, scored.
You throw yourself passes, but Alex Smith now. To me. I pray the Jaguars don't trade for Alex Smith because even though Alex Smith is just kind of just a guy.
No, he's perfect for them.
He would be perfect.
Yes. Absolutely perfect for them. All right, 8 o'clock, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. I got to talk about Renter's Warehouse here and my peeps and my guy, Rich Drake, over there. Is he not Rich Drake, what he's doing in this city? Now, Renter's Warehouse nationally is the biggest. It's not even close. I don't think there's even. Is there another place that rents houses? I have no idea. But I do know that Renter's Warehouse is the biggest in the country, and it's not even close. And it started up in Minnesota, and Houston is catching up under the leadership of Rich Drake and what he's doing over there. And the big reason is that people, they don't want to buy right now. They want to rent a house. You have a house that you don't want to live in. You have a house where you have to commute an hour, hour and a half to work every day, and you're just sick of it. Well, let somebody else pay off your mortgage while you go maybe buy another house where you actually want to live. And then now you're going to have two houses. And here's the thing, is sell your house. It could take, I don't know, a year and a half. How about it takes an average of 17 days to rent your house? And they'll do all the vetting. You get to choose who's going to live in your house. They will vet them, and they will do all of the work. You don't want any of this. And find out, too. You say, well, I don't know how much my house would rent for. Well, why don't you just call and find out? Because it could be way more than the mortgage that you're paying. 713-224-RENT, 713-224-RENT, or renterswarehouse.com. Great time to rent your home. If you don't want to live there, renterswarehouse.com.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.